This.
Or maybe we need a second motion on that, but.
Right now, we have a concise motion about the $20,000 issue. Is there further discussion from board members? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now we've dealt with half of what the rehab council brought to us. I think we need to deal with the other part of it. How do we want to?
Then a second motion that the commission conduct a survey of clients or what other pool besides current clients can you?
Consumers.
Can you survey easily?
I think we could survey some closed clients. I certainly, the past year, I can't say for certain 1 or 2 years or what, but some, I'll say recently closed people who are, you know, that.
And this would be independent living people too?
Right.
Okay.
Both, all of, from our full case service database that we should be able to survey. And what I'm thinking of, we mean in survey, if we mean telephone, which of course is the most accessible, no, I don't think that's doable. But if you will let us do a one-page large print with do you use the thing and a couple of boxes to check in, how often, or something along that line, and mail it to all those people, that's what I'm saying is doable. And I think a good idea. I'm not opposed to that at all.
Is there a problem with sending it in large print and braille so that people have an option? Or is that less doable?
It's, I can't quite see the value of sending it in braille to all, because that would be the minority that would use the braille. But if we could, I hate to make this commitment, but I believe that we could look through the list of the, you know, when we generate the mailing list, and the people, the staff involved in each office would be able to look through their people, and they would know number 5, 18, and 43 use braille, you know, and we could do braille to those. We probably wouldn't catch everybody, but it would make, you know, I think that would be pretty doable. Carlos and Bob, do you have any other comments about a better way to make that work?
Not just, we know some clients who definitely like to get things in braille, and we can send the survey to them in braille for sure, but those who we don't, large print is usually the way how we do it. At least, you know, sometimes we ask, but for this type of situation, it will take a lot of time to ask everyone
right.
Which format they want.
Mm-hmm. If we were going to do that, we would just ask them the questions.
Right. Yeah, or send a tape, which may or may not be the best way either.
Right.
And once again, I think if we send in braille for those who we know they read braille, there is no problem about it. For those who we don't large print, it's usually fine because people usually find it reader anyways, and it's going to be a very short one to read. Mm-hmm.
So is that acceptable?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are we, so we are, do we have a motion about the survey?
Did the vote happen on the first?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I can't refer, but make a motion that the commission conduct a survey to current and recent closed cases determining their use, extent of use of radio talking book.
And so we're not tying this to the $30,000 thing.
I think it's all under review. I think the first motion, it's all under review.
Okay, so, oh dear. So the first motion that we originally had just being involved with the...
No, I think the first one said...
we didn't...
That we're something that, in fact, that we're anticipating.
Well, that the council recommended that $20,000 be dropped and the $30,000, maybe we didn't say the $30,000.
No, we didn't.
Jen, could you read what was voted on?
Yeah, I don't know if I have it right.
Oh.
Because I have all of them in here yet. I have.
But the most recent.
See what you get when you get a couple of lawyers on.
The last one was really.
What I have for it is that the council, that the rehab council recommended to the Commission for the Blind that $20,000 in basic grant
basic
money be
support.
Eliminated from the funding of Radio Talking Book, and we're going to review that at our August meeting and would like for them to come and speak to us about it. That's the way I heard the motion that.
Well, maybe the second motion, since it's related to use, that it then be tied to, and then the results along with the Radio Talking Book information be used to determine if the $30,000, which is being funded by the old person, or that's not old person, but
older
the
older blind,
older blind be evaluated. So that a survey be conducted to determine usage of and
conduct a survey to current and recent closed clients
to determine
to determine usage of RTB. That's as far as I got.
And this information, along with RTB data, be used to evaluate the $30,000 grant for the older blind.
I'm wondering, I mean, it seems to me like we're making this a lot more complicated than
I
it
think
needs
so.
To be.
Yeah. Make a motion A, would be motion A. Motion B, that the survey will be conducted to determine, the survey will be conducted of past and present clients to determine usage of RTB, period.
And then let's take that where it may take us.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, instead of saying what we might do.
Yeah, and if we...
That was my thought. The first motion was just review everything.
Yeah, in other words, take out the reference to the $20,000 for basic support and just put we're doing a review.
Well, I think that first motion was decided on and it was voted on.
It was.
I don't know that you can revise that one, but
well, that was
sure
a cons- that was
within
a,
the same meeting we can.
That's what
sure
the,
we can.
Okay.
What the rehab council though decided was
that's
that was
right.
their recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to review their recommendation.
Yes.
That half of it.
Well, actually, the whole recommendation. The second motion goes to the second recommendation, second part of the recommendation, but I think it's
okay.
It's clear enough. I mean, we're...
Yes, we are. We're moving on. Unless somebody else has anything else to add to that.
I'd like to ask if somebody from the board, such as maybe Bill Rester, would want to go with me to the meeting Tuesday night and or any of you to speak to this, or if you just want me to take it to them.
Either I could or Bob, since he lives in Omaha, maybe he could get there.
What time is the board meeting?
7:00. If I can just say a real blunt thing, and that is that it will be perceived that this is a Federation conspiracy, so to speak. But it's clear from the board, Bill and at the council, Bill was equally supportive and very honestly, it won't matter what I say to them about, it's really not just a Federation thing.
Yes.
That's why.
There's feelings of that out there.
Yeah,
so I think
very clear.
Yeah, I think that'd be.
So that's why.
Help. That's why I think since Jim and Bill both voted for it, I think it shows it's
yes.
not just a one
right.
segment's idea.
Right.
Good.
Thank you.
We got a vote on that motion, huh?
Yes, we do.
We got a second it. So who's
somebody,
second?
Nobody has.
I'll
and when I said
it.
The thing about moving on, nobody made a motion. I'd ready to just go on and say, well, we didn't ever get around to that part.
Oh, you're sly.
We can, every survey that we do or everything we do within the commission certainly isn't tied to motions by the board. And it's real clear to us we need to do this. We'll certainly do a survey you know, I mean, you can, if you want to keep working on wording a motion, you can, but if you want to just know that we're going to take a look at this.
Let's keep it simple.
I think that's the way it should have been stated in the first place. Just don't bring other bodies into it.
Sounds good to me.
And we can discuss it that way.
We will do a survey. We will report back to you as old business. How's that?
Sounds fine to me, and we have eliminated any second motions, if I understand this correctly.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, we were in the midst of the budget, weren't we?
No, we just finished the budget.
Yeah, I brought up budget as the last item I wanted to, I brought up this thing as the last thing because it impacts that was the budget issues that...
That's right, but I didn't know if you had anything further on that.
I did not.
Okay.
I knew that was going to be a big one, so
right.
I made that be last on what I wanted to say about budget.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Okay, 5 minutes break or something.
Does anybody on the commission board want to have a 5 minute break? It is now.
Unless somebody's out of the bathroom, I'd just assume.
Almost 4 o'clock.
Charge forward.
Yeah, I'd like to get through this. We're moving rather slowly.
Kind of
right. I'd like to mention that Della Johnston came up to me and whispered in my ear that the North Platte contingent had to leave and there was something she had hoped to bring, but she'll be calling me about it. And so, but she chose to say to my ear and not, you know, to try to get the word in. So anyway, they're gone. And
well, I guess I would like to publicly say, as chairman of the board, that there was a time, I think it was our first meeting, when a similar kind of thing happened, and I did ask, and it was part of our minutes, if I remember right, that if people have things that they need to address or want to address, and they come to a meeting, that and if they are under a time constraint, that they let me know that, because I am flexible. This board has been flexible. I think we've shown that on several occasions. And that if people will do that, then we will accommodate.
And maybe the point is that most people won't have read previous minutes. And what if we had it on the beginning of every agenda, just as an item at the very top? Note to the public, anyone wishing to bring, you know, what you just said.
I think that would be fine. Mm-hmm. I think I said something similar to that at the beginning of this meeting about, you know, if people, since we were being flexible about that we have stated that there is, you know, a period of public comment, but that I have, you know, the board has left it as, you know, up to me to decide when and whether to take comments from the public, and that I had decided today again to allow that to happen, but evidently that maybe wasn't enough.
You know, maybe how it probably seemed to them, and then we jumped right into a very specific
agenda items.
And so comments might be, they might feel inappropriate
had to, be with
to make comments on topics,
okay,
but to bring up a whole new thing perhaps didn't
needed
feel
to wait. Okay.
Yeah. Well, some people came in late also.
Sure. That's true.
You indicated at the beginning there, if you have any addition to the agenda that you wish to make or something,
mm-hmm.
Make sure it's a serious business.
Yes.
Right. So we'll try to put that at the
end. And there were people who came in late
yes, it didn't end
who probably didn't hear that comment. But one thing I do want us to establish, that we will, when at all possible, start on time. Because I also know human nature well enough to know that if you begin to get a reputation for not starting on time,
right,
then people will help you to not do that. If you do start on time and people really want to make comments, they will make an effort to be here. And so I really, those two things I want us to be establishing. The one is that we're open to comments and willing to revise at the meeting due to time constraints, and the other that we will, when at all possible, begin on time. So, okay, so the next agenda item is the NIS update.
Yes, and I can briefly report on that. The Nebraska Information System, NIS, will replace the aging and very much aged Nebraska Accounting System, NAS, and Nebraska Employee Information System, NEIS, NIS and NAS, for those of us who know and love it. This project is the framework for re-engineering many of state government's current administrative and business processes. It has been determined that the contract will go to the J.D. Edwards Corporation, partnering with IBM for the software implementation. Ross has been to some meetings and also had some just personal appointments with some of the folks involved with it, and some of his first concerns he has felt like have been addressed, and I think it's going to be important that we stay on top of the process, and any time that they might be putting out some information for us to take a look at, that in fact consumers make sure they do look at them and make sure it's accessible. But so far it's looking pretty hopeful, and the person in charge of it is Tom Conroy, and you can email him at tconroy@notes.state.ne.us, and of course there's a phone number too. But if we just kind of keep watching the process, if you read any newspaper articles or hear any information where it's starting to tell you at all about it, and of course if we get information we'll pass it on as well, to make sure they keep remembering to make sure that it's accessible, and I think it's really going to be an excellent system. It's going to be where the employees can go in and look up their own lead balances and look up their own whatever, and if it's fully accessible, it'll bring things to staff, well, and to the public, because some of it'll just, it will be available, you know, it's there for public knowledge, to anybody, which formerly, or currently, I should say, is only available on print. One of our staff had brought the problem, I don't know, a year or so ago, that when he wanted to look at the details of his paycheck or an expense reimbursement or something, he had to go through it with his wife, and he wanted to not have to do that, you know, and so I really think that was a valid point, and so the move to the NIS, I think, will really be a good change. I'll try to keep you posted on that.
Okay.
That's all that I had about that.
Okay, and the CPQ thing is next. We touched on it a little bit in the materials.
Right, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, yes, the other part that I didn't mention before is that I did speak with the fellow over in personnel, and he knows that we're anxious for them to look at all of the material we've sent over, and he said that with, you know, they've just recently finalized the whole contract and all of that, which is a very time-consuming piece, and we've sent them a big chunk of work. We didn't just send them one CPQ, you know, to revise or to review and upgrade. So we really sent them quite a significant project, but he said within the next month that they will be working on that. He didn't say when we'd have an answer, but they know that we need an answer, and they are going to be working on it. That's all I have on that.
Okay. And the website?
Okay. Some good changes with the website. We do have it set up for emailing the board. Actually, the internal workings of that is in place, and Kelly needs to go in this next week and make the actual link on the page that will, the way it's going to work is that it'll probably be a link that says email the board, and you click on that and do your email, and it will basically go to an address called board@ncbvi.state.ne.us. But what really will happen is it'll go to Kelly Coleman's machine, and then it'll be automatically forwarded to whoever the current board is, to your personal emails. So your personal emails aren't on there, and you don't have to go check a different address to see if there is any. It'll be automatically routed to you. And it's going to be both on the homepage of the commission website as well as on the Meet the Commissioners page. So I think that, I think the way it's gotten worked out is going to be a very good mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And as it progresses, you please let us know if it's working or, you know, if there's snags, that anything we need to fix.
How many viruses we've been sent?
Right. I hope not.
There's no way to, we can retrieve the emails from a different machine. I mean, I guess you just, you know, with the crazy virus
mm-hmm.
conspiracy world we live in, you hate to open an email from anybody you don't know.
That's true.
And this would be the, especially from any controversial decisions like that we're
yeah.
in the process of making now. That,
you know, that's a good point that we really didn't get into in the discussions. We were trying to preserve, you know, your privacy by not putting your emails on there and such, but let me talk further with Jonathan about that point, because I'm sure he's real aware of, and maybe there's a way they can, at least some of the ones that, you know, there are certain extensions that a machine can know to automatically delete and like that. Let me see if there's something about that. That's a really good point.
So it goes directly out from Kelly's, or does she have to send it out?
We talked about a couple of ways, and I think what ended up with was that it would go directly out, but that may be the point, you know, that it's something that she would actually look at first. It would go directly to a folder, and this is one of the ways we talked about. It would go directly to a folder on her email, and then she would look at everything. You know, she would daily check that folder. And then if there were viruses to watch out for, and of course her machine has the virus alert so that theoretically any real problem would be, she'd get the alert about it, and then she could delete that before sending it on. That might be the thing that saves it.
I don't know, viruses are so insidious anymore.
Right.
It's just,
well, I'm sure there's, you know, we're actually behind the time in this sort of thing. There are lots and lots of organizations that have websites that say email the director or the board or whatever, and I'm sure there are some kinds of mechanisms that they use to help make it as safe as possible. So
I make a motion that during the first 6 months trial, we have Barbara read all the emails. Be a sacrificial lamb.
Oh yeah.
If I get a virus and it crashes, then we're all out of luck.
Then we'll know we need more safeguards.
Yeah. Barbara, you're second.
Well, thank the rest of you for the support, since I don't hear a second.
Well, then we'll move down. I abominate Carol.
Okay. The other thing new on the board is a donations link, and I'm sure Warren Buffett's going to be surfing the internet, and he's going to see this thing about the mission, and see the spot that says your donations can help. Your contributions can help, something like that. You click on it and you come to a nice green screen that makes you think about giving money, and it tells how you can contribute, and it gives my name and explains that small unmarked bills will be, no. but anyway, so that's on there now, and who knows what that could bring something, you never know. Let's see, if there was anything else on that. That's it, on the board, on the webpage, website.
Okay, friends of the commission. We got the incorporation papers and that kind of thing. Is there any kind of a report that we need to hear, or are we just progressing?
Well, I don't know if I should make that report. Mike said they want some more information. that they want, right?
Well, we filed the Articles of Incorporation with the state of Nebraska, so we're incorporated with the state of Nebraska. Now, the next step is that we need to recruit and sign up directors for the board. I think we've got a couple of volunteers this morning in the Rev Council meeting.
We got two there.
But we need to have 3 to 15 members on the board. At that point, we have our first meeting. Then we adopt the Articles of Incorporation. And then the next step after that is to let the IRS know that we've got the board in place and who members are, so that we can get the 501c3.
Yeah, when the papers go into IRS, we need to send a completed Articles of Incorporation as well as the officers and the directors. They have to be on there.
Right.
So that we have to get together real quick.
Yeah.
And get that done, because it moves so slow anyway.
Yeah.
It took me about 3 months to get their form. Mm. I had to raise Cain, and they sent them by FedEx. So it's a slow process with the IRS. I'll be working on those tomorrow afternoon.
Right. So do you have any idea of when the first meeting or the, you know, the next step will happen?
Well, I mean, technically we could put, you know, a board together with 3 to 5 people maybe even, and
they
get the paperwork filed, mm-hmm. and then we can have people on as we go.
Yeah, I talked to Jim Feynman a long time ago, and he said, yeah, he'd be willing to be one there, and he's pretty competent. And Sherry, I think she'd be a good person on there for what we need. And Jim Gerog, he said he'd be on there, so that's 4.
One thing we want to keep in mind is, though, we want people that have pockets or reach in pockets.
Yeah, we got to do that, pockets. Too. Now, we thought about Pat Fisher, but I think his conflict of interest is just too strong to have him on there.
Might be.
I really think so.
He could, you know, if he said that the reason he wanted to be involved is because he would have ideas about technology grants or people in technology companies, and he could still provide that kind of any ideas he had to be sent.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I think that Gina also expressed interest in mm-hmm. being on it, and she definitely has those connections within corporations that have money, so I would encourage you to. I don't know if she actually, you know, got on the list, but at the time of the conversation, she seemed very with it and interested in wanting to participate.
Yeah. So we'll do that quick.
Well, it seems like Roy Hobley had also been willing to serve, if I remember right.
I think he was.
Mr. Hobley is in the room.
However, you're absolutely correct.
Okay.
There we go.
Thank you, sir.
You'll sign the man up.
All right. Well, we'll be glad when that gets itself going.
We have to think about officers, too. Who can we recruit as officers?
Yes, my
understanding. I talked to Dr. Nyman one time that when we were down there considering the bill, he was not a commit.
I'll twist his arm once.
But my understanding is that that's not something that this board makes any decisions about, that that's something that the corporation itself does.
That's right.
So if there isn't anything else that we can do about that, we'll move on to the next item, which is the Nebraska Business Enterprise update.
Okay. And specifically accessible markings on the vending machines.
Yes.
They have discussed it in their vendor committee meetings. They've looked at machines. I know Barbara worked with the vendors in Lincoln, kind of exploring the ideas as well. Some machines can be marked in Braille, where it's a real, you know, where the space allows and where the product is pretty well always the same, you know, then that's something that they can mark. And I'm fairly certain that Don Ward and Terry Harris were working with vendors to get railing done on machines. There are other machines where either the space doesn't allow, or the product, it's in one of those, I mean, the product changes, excuse me, and if you're a good vendor, actually you make sure you keep your product current and that you, you know, stop having the kinds of chips people don't buy and add the cookies people do buy or whatever, so the products can change. And so sometimes it's the nature of what's in there, and sometimes it's the nature of the machine itself that prevents rail from being very usable. But there was another idea explored of Dave Hunt was having a list that actually he put on top of the machine that was more for his own reference, but that could be something made available to the customer as well, you know, and that's something they were looking at. So that's really as far as that got, unless somebody else knows something else.
Okay. It sounds like no one does. digital news is the next topic.
Yes. What was the date? We had a meeting. The time is such a blur, I can't tell you when exactly, but we had a telephone meeting with John Scott of the Scott Family Foundation in Omaha. The 8th?
I think it was.
Okay, could be. Sounds good to me. Not too long ago, John Scott is a person that Stacy Groff of Digital News has been working with quite a lot over many, many months, providing information, and Bill Brown and I and Bob Deaton and others in the commission have worked to provide information to Stacy to help her explain the needs for Newsline funding and such with Mr. Scott. Then he had a conference call with Stacy, myself, and Bill Brown where we were able to go into some of his more specific questions about budget. He is interested in the commission as a whole, and in fact, what could happen from this is that his foundation may end up providing funds to the commission without the specific tying it to digital or through digital news. So, Stacy's fine with that too. The main thing is bringing funds in to support the programs that people need, and even if the funds come to the commission not specifically for Newsline, certainly that'll free up case service monies, and you know, so it'll all help the whole project, the whole work that we're doing. Stacy had been asked at our previous meeting to do a fact sheet so that as you all and other people are trying to tell people about Newsline and what the different needs are, that they would have some information at hand. And she did want me to let you know that she was working on that when she became ill. She's been really quite ill for several months now and in and out of the hospital for tests on anti-rejection meds and quite an involved process of lab work and so on. So she's doing better, but she's not out of the woods, and she is going to be getting back to that. She apologized for not having it, and I said, please, Stacy, you know. I mean, she really has been through the ringer, and so the fact that she's working on it is, I think, terrific. And I did send a follow-up letter to Mr. Scott after the budget process was done that just went out a few days ago. He had requested that we do that. So I think he probably will come to Lincoln and tour the center and, you know, see the work that the commission does.
Put him on the board of the Friends of the Commission.
Yeah, I was thinking that very same thing.
Big thank you.
That's all I have on that.
Okay. And I think That is certainly good news. I don't know, did he happen to say anything about what level of funding he's considering?
Not really. He managed to stay pretty vague there. And I don't really know if they're a $3 million foundation or an $80 million foundation. I don't know what...
Well, isn't there a way of getting...
Sure.
Getting at that? Because I think when we... One of the things that we need to do is, and that's true for the friends or for anybody, when you know of an entity, it is a good idea to know what it's worth so that we know where to begin asking.
Yeah, maybe Stacy knows that.
But we really ought to know that.
It's quite substantial.
Is it?
Quite
okay.
Substantial. I mean, they put up like $30 million for the convention center, the Scott Foundation.
There you go. Thank you, Bob.
So they could fund Newsline for... They could buy everybody a computer and hook them up to the internet. That foundation has lots of resources.
Great.
So 10,000 of them would, it's a rounding error or so.
Okay. Excellent.
Those are the kind of deep pockets that you like to have looking at you.
Yeah, and that's why, and if we know that, then it would be ridiculous for us to ask for a tremendously small amount.
Tremendously small.
Yeah.
Like if we were asking for $5,000 for Digital News to help Newsline, when instead they could give us, who knows.
$5 million or something, then let's not do that. Okay, the next item is the legislative update. Is there anything new, really?
There really isn't anything new. I think you all have you certainly knew what happened with 788. I think you all knew that 433, the sales tax initiative, was killed in committee. So I think really that covers, I can't think of any other update really.
I never did hear what happened to 496 or whatever, the gun thing. I think it's still hanging around, isn't it?
It did have a lot of amendments to it. So probably won't move.
Okay. The next item is the state plan.
Yes, the state plan, which normally every year comes back to us with many changes and revisions that have to be made before it can be approved. This year, with the first draft that we sent to them, it was sent back fully approved. And we got that.
Great. That's great.
One thing done.
And we did have interaction about that, between the last meeting and this meeting, so that's always helpful.
Right. That's really all on that. It's done
okay.
Until next April.
All right.
I mean, it has to be submitted next April 15th, so we'll be working on it again in January, I suppose, or whenever.
Okay, the policies.
Okay.
The last item.
The policies, we've been reviewing some other existing policies, what's set forth in administrative services and the law and the voc rehab, what they already have into rule. We met with the attorney at voc rehab, Kristen Peterson, who is very knowledgeable in this area. She went through the whole process with it, and it's a very convoluted, complex, detailed process to put something into rule. We need to make sure that we don't put anything in there that ties us too closely to something that we might want to change next year, because then we'd have to do the whole thing again. In talking with Jerry Harris, our rep from the RSA federal office in Kansas City, she really encouraged us not to get too far along with that process until after she's come met with us to monitor what it is we're doing, make sure that all of our practices and policies and internal workings are in line with the regulations that were put into place in August, in April, just last month. So she, the how long it has taken was, you know, frustrating, but she really encouraged us not to push it, but rather to go slow with it so that we can go through this process and do that, you know, as a part of, well, it really is part of the process, because in coming up with your rule, it does have to be approved at the state and the federal level, so getting her involved with really working with us at this stage can help make sure we don't then have to rework lots of work and so forth. So we've learned a lot about the process. We haven't actually done any, you know, drafted documents or set up meetings and such. That's why you don't have anything yet. But given what she has encouraged us and advised us to do, that's the way we decided, just to kind of hold off on that part. As far as drafting documents, what we've been doing, as I mentioned, is looking at existing rule to see where we can, you know, hopefully not reinvent the wheel too much and work from some existing documents and develop what's change wording and, you know, make it appropriate to the Commission for the Blind. So that is where we're at. Carlos, do you have any other comments on that, or Bob? Mm. Okay.
Well, wasn't there some kind of a July 1st
yes.
deadline for something?
Thank you. I meant to speak to that. I had in my head, and I know I have said this at meetings, that we needed to have our policy in rule by July 1, 2001. That came pretty much from Health and Human Services telling us, you know, a lot of the things that you're sort of were under with us can carry through till that date. But as I looked further at the law and at the state rules and regulations, and even the Health and Human Services, their whole manual on policies is almost word for word what's in the law. With then there are specific areas where agencies have discretion, and so, you know, then those parts are underlined. But the bulk of it is already in law, either the state or the Rehab Act, and so, or the state contract. You know, so if there were issues with regard to employees that we don't have policies on yet, they're really covered in, you know, we already have them. We just haven't specifically made our own. And anything really to do with client services, yes, we need to promulgate our own rule, but it is in the law. And so I don't feel like that's going to be a problem if we face any challenges or anything like that. So as I really looked more, and also with LB 352, there's really nothing in it that refers to a July 1, 2001 deadline for that sort of thing. It specifies what areas we must promulgate rule about, but not you have to have this done by July 1.
Okay, so we're not really under that kind of a
right
deadline kind
yeah.
of thing.
It would have been great, you know, it would have mm-hmm. been a good thing, but it's not the way that I was.
Hearings, too, that have to go along.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing.
Yeah. Hearings, you have to go through Attorney General, you have to, I mean, there's just a lot of steps to it. It's the kind of thing you need one or two specialists to do nothing but focus on developing rule and going through the whole thing.
Right.
Full-time.
And one specialist to know everything about VR app,
yes.
and the other specialist everything about the procedures
right.
for the law.
And we don't even have one person to do full-time, and we don't even, I mean, the time we've put to it has been piecemeal, and it's felt frustrating, you know, but we can't just lock the door and keep the phone calls and the people, you know, I mean, we have to keep dealing with stuff. So anyway, we're working on it as diligently.